The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself, "O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes on my whole income." But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So once again, not a big surprise, we have another parable. And this is again, like I said last weekend, these are the parables from that section of St. Luke's Gospel where Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And we call them the travel dialogues, the scholars do. And so he has tells these parables, interacts with his disciples on the way to Jerusalem. He's going to die. He's going to give his life for our salvation. So that, again, that context of the parable. Now, it's very interesting. The way we look at this parable today is very different from the way that a first century Jew, even a follower of Jesus, would have most likely thought about this. So we think Pharisee, boo, bad, right? And we think tax collector, good, yay. Not at all what they would have thought in first century Judaism or many of his disciples, his followers. You know, the Pharisees were very religious people. They were very devout people. I mean, listen to his prayer. Even though it's messed up in a sense, he's not adulterous. He's not greedy. He's trying to keep the law. You know, there is an aspect of his life that really these were the good guys. These were the pious ones. These were the religious people of Jesus' day. And not all of them were bad. Not all of them were like this Pharisee had the wrong attitude and mindset. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But these were the good guys. And the tax collectors, they were hated. They were not good guys. Again, Jesus, it sounds kind of confusing, he says, it's the latter one, the tax collector, that went home justified. But we'll see that why in a minute. It's not because his life was virtuous. That certainly wasn't true. Tax collector was hated. In fact, this is what the Romans would do. Romans hired tax collectors amongst the people they had occupied. So they wouldn't themselves collect taxes. They would hire one of the locals. So in this case, a Jew. They would hire Jewish men to go and collect taxes. And so they would bid out the job. So the highest bidder won the job. So that was kind of interesting in itself. So you had to really cough up the dough in order to get this position because it was very lucrative. And so what the tax collector would do is they would go around and say, "Okay, Mr. Smith, you know, the Romans said Mr. Smith owed 80 denarii. And the tax collector would say, "You owe 100 denarii." Well, whether the person who was being taxed knew it or not, there was nothing they could do about it. Because if they gave the tax collector trouble, all he'd have to do is say, "Roman soldier, come here and beat this guy up or put the pressure on him and get that 100 denarii out of him." So that the people couldn't do anything. They were trapped. It was extortion. No doubt, these are kind of like mafia guys in the first century. And so they had to cop up, and then what he would do is he'd give the 80 denarii to the Romans, and he'd pocket the other 20. So that's why they were hated. They were cheaters. They were thieves. These were people who were not welcome in synagogue. These were people who were not welcome in your home. They shunned them. They were actually an official category of sinner, along with prostitutes and other people, you know, who were breaking the law. So again, we see a reversal. Today, our modern perspective is very different from the time of Jesus. And the reason for that is what Jesus explains. He says at the beginning of the parable, hey, this is about people who despise others. So, in other words, what Jesus is saying is, it's the inner attitude that I'm looking at, not the outward. Again, Jesus wasn't condoning the tax collector or his way of life, not at all. And he wasn't saying the Pharisee was evil. He was saying what's going on in our hearts. Because here's the bottom line. Religion, for us, our Catholic faith, our Christian faith, religion is to lead to an inner conversion. It's not like the Pharisees got wrong, this is where they got wrong, that going through the law, going through the rituals, and yet their hearts were unchanged. There was no conversion. That's what Jesus took issue with, the Pharisees and the scribes and the leaders of his day. They were going through the motions, but there was no inner conversion, and as a result, Jesus criticized them. He says, you place burdens on people, you make no effort to lift them, eh? You're not helping people. You're not helping people discover what religion is all about, which is inner freedom and true repentance and walking with God and being an instrument of God's love and mercy. So this is what was missing with the Pharisee. That's why Jesus says it was the latter, the tax collector, who went home justified. Why? Not because of his lifestyle, but because he was honest with God. I'm a sinner. Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He wouldn't even look up. There was the fear of God in his heart. He knew he was unworthy. He knew he was a sinner. We don't know much about this guy, but we know the inner heart was right, and that's what Jesus is saying God is looking for. And that's true for all of us. You know, religion is not a burden. It's supposed to lead us to freedom. And I'm afraid, you know, there's a lot of Catholics today that's the way they look at religion. They look at their Catholic faith as a burden, an imposition. Maybe some of us have been there, you know? And we see this, we're just doing our duty. We're just coming to church because we're afraid to go to hell or, you know, we think that's what we should do, but there isn't that inner freedom. And what's missing, again, is that inner attitude, the relationship with God. That makes all the difference in the world. That makes all the difference in the world. Not only back in the time of Jesus, but for us today. And this weekend, Friday and Saturday, yesterday, many of us, over 50 people from our parish attended the Diocesan Assembly. I've been talking about this quite a bit. We've been praying for it. This gathering, we had about 1,800 people from all over the diocese. Really awesome. And we gathered at the summit, which was in Lansing, on the edge of Lansing, in the west end of Lansing. And we heard really amazing speakers. And again, the whole idea of the assembly, the second assembly that we had, was about, it was called Call by Name. It meant that you and I, all of us, all the baptized, are called by name by God to be exactly what Jesus is talking about today in the gospel. To have that inner relationship with God, that inner conversion, that inner attitude, so that we're transformed and liberated, and others are as well. And we can lead them simply by our example sometimes. Not just that, but certainly by our example. And that God's love would flow out of us into the lives of, and you know, again, we've talked about this so many times. All of us know, my family and your families, people you know at work, people who say, I'm an ex-Catholic, or I went to church, or I was an altar boy, and now I don't go to church, and I don't believe, and, you know, we all know people like that. Right? And sometimes we ask the question, what's wrong with these people? Right? What's wrong with these young people today? What's wrong with these sinners? What's wrong with these following Catholics? What's wrong with these politicians who call themselves Catholic and yet, you know, and so on and so on. We can fill in our own lists. And you know, our speakers really brought out some, I think, good insights for all of us. And in the fact that we tend sometimes to look like the Pharisees at the world. Them bad, us good. But the whole point of Jesus' coming again was that we would infiltrate our world and bring the love of God in it so that those people would have an awakening, a conversion, and be drawn back to the Lord and to the church. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, what we're doing here, why we're here on Sunday. You know, the very end of the conference, they posted on the main doors as people left, big posters that said, you are now entering the mission field. Just like when you go out today for Mass. We should do that sometime. Put a big poster. You are entering the mission field. It's not like them and us. It's not what the church teaches us. We are to go into the world and bring the love of God. Now that is very intimidating for a lot of us. Now, I have to say I loved all the speakers, but one of my favorite one was Curtis Martin. I told you about him a couple weeks ago. He's the founder of the Focus Movement, which is the Catholic Fellowship for College Students. And they're here in Michigan. They're at CMU. They're at Eastern University in Michigan. Hopefully that will grow in all the universities. They'll be in there eventually. But Curtis shared with us sort of this theme of what I've been talking about, what the gospel talks about, and our attitude, our inner attitude about our own faith, you know, let alone the people of the world and things like that. And I'm going to get up, probably shouldn't, but I'm going to get up and I'm going to demonstrate just the way he showed us, he talked to us. He said, so let's say you bought an SUV, all the bells and whistles, beautiful, brand new SUV, and you get it out of the parking lot, of the lot of the SUV sales dealer, and you start pushing it. And you got 8 miles to go to get home, and you're pushing it. Well, imagine. After a while, it's like, you know. Well, we all know that's not what you do, right? You go in and you turn the ignition, and the car starts up. And rather than the SUV being a burden, right, it ends up carrying our burdens. That's the way it's supposed to be, right? And he says our Catholicism sometimes can be like that. People ask us, well, how's that Catholic thing going? How's that religion thing going? We go like, you know, it becomes a burden. For a lot of Catholics, that's what the way they look at God. God's down there. He's going to zap them with lightning bolts. He's the judge. You know, they don't have that personal relationship with him. And so they have a very skewed attitude and mindset towards religion and faith. And maybe we've been there, and maybe we're still there to some extent. And Curtis says, no, that's the way religions work is like with the SUV. You turn the ignition, it starts up, and it carries your burdens, not becomes a burden. And I just thought that was an awesome image for me. That's what really struck me at the conference most of all was Curtis's image. You know, and St. John Paul II and Pope Benedict have said the same thing over and over again in their pontificates. They've said, unless we have that personal encounter with Christ, unless we have that personal relationship with Jesus, then all the commands and all the rules simply become another burden on top of us. It's true. Unless we've had that encounter, unless we've had that encounter with Jesus and his love, we've opened up our hearts, we've surrendered our lives, and he's come into our hearts and begun to change us, and we've begun to grow, we've begun to experience that conversion. We're trying and we're on that road of conversion. Then all the commandments, everything about our faith, our religion, is simply going to become another imposition, another burden that we feel. It's not going to liberate us, it's going to burden us. You and I know, as I mentioned before, lots of people who maybe that's for whatever reason, sometimes no fault of their own, have come to see religion, Catholicism, as that, as a burden. It's not a freedom, it's not a source of freedom. And all the speakers talked about that, you know, that each one of us here today, this is the challenge. Are we going to be like the Pharisee, us and them, or are we going to be like the tax collector, that inner attitude? Lord, be merciful to me. I'm on that road. I'm trying. I'm striving. I'm trying to walk with you every day. Help me, Lord. Show mercy to me. Help me. Send your Holy Spirit into my heart. That's a huge difference. That makes a huge difference in the people we know at work, in our families, etc., etc. Curtis Martin also said, you know, sometimes we're very intimidated by this idea of evangelization. He says, you know, sometimes we expect of ourselves that we, for example, he gave the example of St. Augustine, the great bishop and saint of the early church. And St. Augustine, his mother Monica prayed for him because he was really messed up for a long time. She prayed for 30 years for his conversion, and he did convert. He became a great saint, a great writer, a great teacher of the Catholic Church. But it wasn't her that converted him. It was St. Ambrose, the bishop of Milan. St. Augustine went to church there as his conversion started to happen and he started to be intrigued by the gospel. And when he heard the preaching of Ambrose, that convinced him. He was convicted by the preaching of Ambrose. But his mother had been praying for him for 30 years. Do you think Ambrose preaching would have had any effect if Monica wasn't praying for him? No way. So Curtis said, you know, sometimes we put that burden on us, right? We got to convert him. No, we don't. That's the Holy Spirit's work. Our job is to be that instrument of God. Our job is that inner conversion work. It's the inner attitude inside of us, not them, God will change them. The Holy Spirit will bring about that grace of conversion. Our job is just to obey God, just to do what He's asking of us. Well, that's pretty hard if we see Catholicism, our faith, as a burden and not a source of freedom. So let's pray about that today. Now, I want to ask you, one of the things that I thought was really cool that the diocese asked us to do is, of course, not all of us were able to attend the assembly. But they designed it in such a way that, in a sense, we can all participate in the assembly in some way. So in your pews, you're going to find pamphlets and little pencils. And I want you to grab a paper, a little pamphlet there, and a pencil. I'm going to explain kind of what we're doing here. So the assembly ended yesterday, but it's actually happening today, right now. That's the way the bishop and the diocese designed this. We could have a participation in the assembly. So I want you, don't worry about the rest of the pamphlet. I want you to go right to the very back of the pamphlet, the back page, where it says, "My Personal Evangelization Plan." Okay, and just follow me, and I'll show you what to do. So there are a series of questions there. And you may not be able to answer all of them today, and that's all right. I want you to bring them home. I want you to continue to pray and think and reflect. And maybe over this next week, you'll come up with some answers. And maybe today, too. We're going to take a few moments in a moment or two just to pray and to ask the Holy Spirit to bring to mind some answers here. So on this, my personal evangelization plan, there's five questions. It says, ask the Holy Spirit to bring to mind someone in your life who is no longer coming to church. Write his or her name. Okay, just hold on. Just want to go through this and explain this. Number two, how will you pray for him or her? Number three, how can you share your faith with him or her? Four, how could you invite him or her? Or what could you invite him or her to? And fifthly, how could you accompany him or her? Okay, so don't get intimidated, don't get worried or anxious. And first of all, this is confidential. Nobody's, Father's not going to say, okay, hand in your pamphlets. You know, this is yours. You take this home. You don't have to show this to anybody. This is your personal evangelization plan. And maybe you're not ready to answer question four or five. That's all right. But I think all of us can answer those first couple, well, that first question. Call to mind someone, one person, maybe two, one person for sure, whom we can start praying for specifically that they would experience God's love and come back to church. And maybe some of us are already doing that. That's okay. Well, I want you to take this home, and I want you to read the whole pamphlet, a lot there. I mean, I don't want to take up time today doing that, but just to pray and reflect. Try to answer those questions. So we're going to just take a few moments right now, just a couple minutes. We're just going to pray. I'm going to say a prayer with us all. We're going to pray together. And then we're just going to take a few moments and try to answer maybe a couple of these questions. And then I'll conclude my homily. So let's just bow our heads now, and let's ask the Holy Spirit to be with us right now. Holy Spirit, we thank you for coming into our lives. We thank you for our salvation. We thank you who are the source of love and mercy. The mercy of the Father has come into our hearts. We thank you for our salvation. We're grateful for your love. Holy Spirit, we want others to experience this love. Holy Spirit, as we take these next few moments, bring to mind that person that you really want us to pray for. Many of us think of many, many people, but we want you, Holy Spirit, to bring a very specific person to mind right now that we can commit to pray for their conversion, that they experience your love as we have. And Holy Spirit, help us as we continue our journey of faith. Help us to have that right inner attitude so that we can be a witness of your love. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, so the music's going to keep playing. Just take a few moments now and just pray and reflect and think about these questions here. And if you get a chance to answer them, all great. You don't have to. Just take a moment now to do that. Think and pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. So I'd like to continue to invite you to reflect and think about those questions. Again, I really want to encourage you to take this home, continue, stick it in your Bible, the place where you pray every day, wherever. And this is your personal plan of evangelization. So you can continue, but Adam's going to come up now, and he's going to just share a little brief experience of his own this weekend at the assembly. So I'm going to ask Adam to come forward now.
Thank you, Father. My name is Adam Hoffman, and I'm the Director of Parish Operations here at Most Holy Trinity. And I just wanted to share my experience with the assembly this weekend. I didn't really have a typical experience because after the first assembly, I was asked to be on the committee with the diocese to plan this one. So I knew it was coming, and I was very excited about it. In fact, if you've talked to me about parish ministry in the last 5 or 6 months, you've probably heard about this because that's how excited I've been about it. The first assembly to me was just really an opportunity where everybody could, from the diocese, came together and could be on the same page with the bishop as far as we're all speaking the same language of what we're trying to do. And it felt like a family reunion in a lot of ways, of seeing all of these priests that had been filling in at Mass and involved in the parish in different ways, hearing confessions. You could see those people and people that work at other parishes. And even different people from our parish saying how, oh, I didn't realize that cousin so-and-so or aunt whoever was going to be here. I forgot that they were involved at this other parish. So there's a real sense of community that was really exciting from the first one and then this one as well. I think reflecting on this assembly, there were two things that kind of struck me. One was Father talking about Curtis Martin. I was listening to his homily, and I was thinking, everybody's going to think we planned this out, but they're just both things that struck us. But the part where we have to be right with the Lord before we can go out to do anything else, I experienced that with, we had a staff retreat a couple of years ago, and Deacon Ralph Poyo was given the retreat, and I didn't want to be there. I was really angry about it. I never told Father that at the time. And you would think that, oh, Deacon Ralph, he's a national speaker. He's at Steubenville and everything. Woohoo, you know. But really, I was mad because I just kept thinking, everything he says to us is going to give me more work to do. And I can't, I don't know. I just felt like I was at you know, the end of what I could do. And I felt like Father was saying, that burden. And when Curtis Martin was talking about that, he was saying, until we give those things to the Lord can give us a greater capacity to do more. So you might be in a similar situation thinking about, I don't know, faith seems hard. I don't want to be here. I don't really feel like passing it on. And I guess the thing that Deacon Ralph on that retreat a few years ago challenged me to do was, what are those things that we're holding on to that the Lord's asking us to give, that when we give it to him, we'll get more freedom and more peace, and we'll be comfortable doing what it is that he has called us to do. And that was really true for my life. And this weekend was a reminder of that when Curtis talked about that. The second part that came up was just that call of invitation. And like Father was talking about, praying about the people that we could invite back. And it reminded me of the Veritas retreats that I had been involved with for a few years. I had a cousin that I invited for like the first 6 retreats or something like that. And he kept having reasons that he couldn't come. And I always say when you get involved with parish ministry, you get used to handling rejection because you're always inviting people to come to things and they're always telling you no, but it's just the life of it. So, but there's always that opportunity that they will. And he decided to come to one. And I just remember thinking there were 25 people that were on the team putting that retreat on. And I was just responsible for the part of inviting him and bringing him to the retreat and kind of walking with him on that journey. But there were all these other people that were there that were going to be a part of his group and share their experiences and help, you know, make the food and things like that. And so we're all coming together to help provide that opportunity for all of our loved ones and friends that we invited to that retreat. And this weekend, thinking about that's really what our parishes are supposed to be. It's one thing to have that as a retreat experience, where, you know, a couple of times a year or whatever, but imagine if that was our experience here every week, you know, where we invite that person from work or that family member or whoever, and I know that everybody in this church will take a part in being excited about that person being here. That would be a pretty awesome church experience that we would have. And I guess in conclusion, just thinking about this, I feel like our parish, you know, that's the commitment that we're making for everybody, is that, you know, between Father and a staff and everybody else that's involved, is wherever part of those two places you're at, whether it's the, I don't feel excited about my faith, I'm not sure what's next for me, like, we can help with that. We would love to talk about whatever your struggles are and help whatever the Lord's calling you to do, to maybe consider giving that over to Him, to have that peace and excitement in your life. You'll be more fulfilled than ever before. Or if it's that part of, you know, I feel like I've had that, but I've got this family member or this friend or somebody. We'd love to be able to, and that's our plan moving forward, is offering opportunities where people can grow and being able to invite people and walk with them and all the pillars that were at this conference. So, I don't know, like I said, I was really excited about this. It definitely met my expectations, and I'm happy to be able to share that with all of you. Thank you.